Welcome to Dream Machine. My name is Aaron.
My name is Patricia.
And today we're going to be looking at Orion in the Dark. So this is the newest movie that's come out from DreamWorks, and it's currently exclusively on Netflix.
Yeah, so this is the first time in over 20 years that a DreamWorks movie was released outside of theatrical releases. So the last time this happened was when Joseph King of Dreams was released exclusively on direct-to-video, and they decided that they didn't want to follow the Disney route, so they decided to release all of their films in theaters. But I guess with the advent on streaming services becoming more popular and a lot more critically acclaimed films are being released there, I guess DreamWorks decided that they were going to be teaming up with Micros Animation to do DreamWorks while the rest of the stuff are being done in-house. Now, for those who don't know, Micros is a French production company that does various animation projects. They did films such as the Little Prince. They did Captain Underpants, the first epic movie. They did Sponge on the Run, the Paw Patrol movie, and recently they did Mutant Mayhem. So, yeah, I guess it's not too much of a surprise that they're starting to branch out with doing other major projects, outside of the usual in-house projects that DreamWorks is doing. So, yeah, this is going to be a case in which we're having three DreamWorks movies coming out this year. So, the first one is Orion the Dark. Next month is Kung Fu Panda 4. And then the third movie is going to be the other project, which I'm just going to pull up right now if I can find it really quick.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll just get everyone up to speed on what Orion in the Dark basically is. So, the thing Orion fears the most is the dark. When the embodiment of his worst fears pays a visit, Dark whisks Orion away on a roller coaster ride around the world to prove that there's nothing to be afraid of at night. So, that's the premise of this. And so, while I've been doing that, so have you found out what the third project actually is?
The Wild Robot.
The Wild Robot, okay. So, anyway, going back on the Orion in the Dark. So, I guess we focus on Orion himself. And, I mean, right off the bat, I've got to be honest with everybody, like, I can see where they were going with Orion. Orion is afraid of everything, whether it's, like, you know, bullies, snakes, you know, other people laughing at him, and, you know, the dark itself, or, you know, just, you know, basically, he's just a scaredy cat, pretty much. He's probably worse than Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, to be honest with you. And I've got to be honest, like, there's a place for these type of characters, and, you know, there is some sense in regards to all of this, but I guess maybe what they were going for here is probably, like, you know, maybe a more outrageous version of Orion in all of this, and I'll explain why I think that's later on in the episode. But I've got to be honest with everybody, regardless of whether it's an outrageous adaptation of this character, or whether it's just, you know, a wild story about, like, you know, Orion in the Dark, I've got to be honest with everybody, I don't particularly like this protagonist all that much.
Yeah, so I think what they were trying to do was that, you know how back in the 80s and 90s, there used to be, like, the timid kid that would be, like, the main protagonist in every single movie? You know, we've had a lot of this discussion back in the Roald Dahl retrospective, in which pretty much every single main character was a timid yet optimistic character. Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Luke from The Witches, Danny from Danny the Champion of the World, James from James and the Giant Peach. It was pretty much like a typical character that you would see back then. And I guess with Orion, it's no exception, where, you know, he's kind of like Chucky from Rugrats, or he's Richard Tyler from The Pagemaster, in which he's like this...
Or Orlo from the Dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you essentially have, like, these characters that are very timid about everything. They're scared of even the minute things, but... Their arc is essentially overcoming their fear so that they can be able to become brave. And that's the main lesson here. And so I take it that that was the direction that they were going for. But this kid takes it to the nth degree. He's afraid of anything you can think of. Bees, bullies, talking to girls. He's afraid of flushing down the toilets and flooding the school. He's afraid of falling out of a skyscraper. He's afraid of being humiliated in front of his peers. He's afraid of everything you can think of, and nobody knows what to do with him. His parents don't know what to do with him, and they, you know, they're just, like, overwhelmed with all of his fears, and they're trying to do their very best, but they can see that their son is very timid, and he doesn't have any friends. There's this one girl named Lisa who, you know, she seems to like him in a way, but he's just too scared to tell her. And there's this bully who's constantly making fun of him, calling him Crying Orion. So yeah, it's not too much of a surprise of character characters that follow in these movies or TV shows that we grew up with back in the 80s and 90s. The problem is that it's been a while since they've had a character like this portrayed in a movie or a TV show.
Yeah, and I've got to be honest, like, it's sort of a character that, you know, if done correctly, I think you can probably get some sympathy with, but yeah, Orion is a very, you know, strange, I think, character in all of this, and I don't think that what they've done with him, I don't think has necessarily been, like, you know, the best portrayal, I think, of, like, you know, the scaredy cat character, if you will. So
exactly, because, you know, all the characters that we talked about, either with with Chucky and Rugrats, or with any of the characters in the Roald Dahl retrospective, they at least had a reason on why they were scared. Like, for example, Chucky from the Rugrats, he's a 2-year-old baby. The world is scary. He doesn't know anything about a lot of things. It makes a lot of sense. And then when All Grown Up came about, he's scared, yes, but he's scared of, like, talking to girls and interacting with people. I mean, you know, like, normal teenager fears. And then you have, like, characters like Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He's a timid kid because he's from a poor upbringing. Luke from The Witches, his parents were dead in a car accident, and he got transformed into a mouse.
Danny, but Orion basically has, you know, not much in regards to, like, any type of trauma or anything like that. He seems, like, he seems to be well-adjusted.
He has good parents. He's in a nice school, and, you know, he's not from a bad upbringing. I mean, sure, we go through bullies. I mean, that's true. You know, bullies are pretty traumatizing, but nothing, like, severe, like, compared to other adaptations of, you know, other characters based off of adaptation that we discussed about that justifiably have these characters go through, like, major timid issues.
You know, in the previous episode of Dream Machine, we actually talked about, you know, where trolls band together, and we talked about how, like, you know, we didn't like the villains of that movie because, you know, they came from, like, pretty much well-adjusted families and basically just wanted more. And I gotta be honest, like, you know, Orion is not exactly the same thing, but the kind of, like, the, you know, the background, the backstory of this character is somewhat similar. Like, you know, he comes from, like, you know, a very well-adjusted family. He, you know, his school seems to be okay. I mean, obviously, bullies, you know, exist in this world. I mean, I'm totally up for accepting that. So, I mean, Orion doesn't really have, like, you know, a place to, like, where he got his fear from. Like, you know, what made him so scared, effectively? Like, is it because he overthinks things? Or is it because, like, he, you know, well, like, you know, well, I would like to know, like, you know, the one thing I would have been interested in with this character is that we delve a bit further and more, so, like, about why does everything make him scared? And we don't really get a really solid answer to that. It seems more like, you know, oh, well, he's not really experienced, you know, the things that he's afraid of, or confronted the things that he's afraid of. So yeah, that's where Dark comes in.
Yeah.
And so, I like Dark, you know. Yeah. I think he's a very good good side character, I think, in this. And he sort of reminds me of the genie in Aladdin in a little bit, really. But he doesn't do, like, do portrayals, like, yeah, he's very toned down, I think, in that. So I think he's a very good companion, I think, for, you know, Orion. And you know, Dark doesn't really take his, he hears about, you know, Orion's fear of the dark, you know, constantly. And so does his other, like, you know, work colleagues that, you know, that help him with the dark as well, and we get introduced to them later on into the movie. But Dark, I think, is, you know, he's a very fun character. He also feels like he's, you know, massively misunderstood in the world, and so he believes that, you know, everyone is, like, you know, massively afraid of him, and very irrationally so. And so you get to see that kind of, like, you know, seeing how he goes through the motions of that. And you know, he's hoping that he can prove to Orion that, you know, if he can say that he's not afraid of him anymore, then obviously why should anyone else be afraid of him? And
yeah.
That gets tried and tested throughout the movie. So I like Dark in this movie. I think he's a very good, you know, side character in this.
I do agree. Yeah, I really like the fact that Dark was able to make his way to Orion saying, I've been hearing you scream every single night. You are night enemy number one. And the only way that I can be able to have you stop being afraid of everything is if you come with me and spend 24 hours with me seeing what I do and meet up with my colleagues and see what they do, and maybe you won't be so scared. And of course, Orion is saying no. He's hiding under the covers and he doesn't want to be a part of this. And then Dark basically just, like, brings him up anyway. And so he tries to show him everything. It's like, you know, I'm the one who brings night to everything. And, you
know, the thing, like, you know, where Orion's reaction to, like, all the characters in this is not necessarily a thing of fear. It's more like, he's more like, kind of, like, doesn't understand why they're there. Like, you know, he's just like, he's kind of, like, pointing things out and questioning everything.
Yeah,
like,
it's just, so it's, let's go through all the companions. So we have Sleep, Insomnia, quiet, unexplained noises, and sweet dreams. So these are all the companions that is alongside of Dark as, you know, nighttime approaches. So sleep basically goes to every single person and does some really weird stuff to make them fall asleep, whether it's hitting with them hammer or chloroform or anything of the sort, and then she would just kiss them goodnight. And, you know, he's basically like really frightened. It's like, oh my gosh, you're doing these extreme things to get people to fall asleep. And then with insomnia,
but it's magic.
Yeah, it's magical sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and on top of that, like, yeah, I think, you know, Orion, I think at heart, you know, doesn't really have, you know, an understanding. It's like, who is he to, like, you know, turn around and say he's asleep? Like, you know, how on earth he should do his job?
Yeah, especially since sleep has been doing it for thousands of years.
Exactly. Orion kind of like reminds me as like an internet commenter. That's what he kind of reminds me of, as he goes around all these characters and like calls them out on like on the stuff that they do. It's kind of like, dude, no. It's like, you know, you don't have any experience of, like, putting people to sleep or making noises in the dark and things like that. Why all of a sudden is, like, you know, why does your opinion count in all of this? What expertise do you have to grab from besides being, like, you know, a kid? And that's like, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Orion reminds me, like, you know, he says, like, he's, you know, he expects to gain sympathy by saying, well, I don't really want to, you know, call things out during the class because I'm worried that people are going to react to me. I mean, I've got to be honest with you, the way that he's reacting with, like, all the elements, like, you know, within the dark, I mean, I kind of don't blame anybody for, like, laughing at him or, like, you know, treating him, you know, terribly. He calls out people. That rubbed me the wrong way in regards to,
you're supposed to be, like, saying, oh, but Orion is trying to help you guys. He's trying to clear out some things and saying, like, maybe there's a different way to do it. But no, when he goes over to Insomnia and sees Insomnia, like, whisper things into people's ears, keeping them up at night, he's like saying, why are you doing that? They, you know, leave them alone. Or with Quiet, you know, sucking up all of the noises. And then he's like overwhelmed and saying, it's too quiet. Or for unexplained noises, when, you know, she's making noises with trash cans and he's like saying, leave these people alone. Why are you doing this? And then for Sweet Dreams, you know, there's a woman who has anxiety of two things. She wants to present a presentation to her job, and she wants to, you know, decide on whether that she wants her daughter, that she brought a puppy home or a kitten home, saying, like, oh, can we keep it? And so, you know, you have Sweet Dreams coming in doing something really nice. Like, you're saying, congratulations, you got the job. And, you know, the mother, the daughter coming out with the pet saying, can we keep it? And then, you know, she says, you're the best mommy in the world. It's like, that is very sweet.
And then Orion comes in and ruins the whole thing.
Yep, he comes in and ruins the whole thing with his fears. With the whole, you know, what happens if, you know, there's a dentist and then there's an angry cucumber and then his bully comes in. And here's the thing, this is not Orion dreaming it. This is another person dreaming about not only the promotion and not only the daughter wanting the pet and she saying yes, but she is also dreaming of the dentist, the evil cucumber, and the bully that Orion is coming up with and ruining her dream. And then
I would imagine you would wake up being very confused.
Yeah, like confused. It's like, how, I mean, they're supposed to treat it like this is supposed to be really serious. It's like, no, I'm not feeling tension from this. I'm just feeling confused. It's like, this is the woman dreaming this, not Orion.
Well, how are we, so this is the thing, like, and then once, you know, we get to like a really cringeworthy scene where, you know, where Orion is like, as you know, having to stand up in front of everybody and apologize for, like, saying how, you know, they, you know, they are irrelevant, or, like, you know, outdated. So we get introduced to daytime as well, and he's like, kind of reminds me of Johnny Bravo in a way.
Yeah, know? Yeah. You know when you're a kid and you're, like, drawing the sky with the sun in it, and sometimes you put, like, sunglasses on him? It's like that.
It's like that. And so we get introduced to that, and, you know, obviously Orion likes the daytime because, like, of all the colors and everything like that.
Yeah,
it makes you feel safe.
It makes you feel warm.
And basically just, like, you know, once again, calls out our, you know, characters in all of this. And I've got to be honest, this is like a really, you know, Orion starts to lose sympathy very quickly. But then, you know, even before we get to that, we then realize that Orion in the Dark, for some strange reason, decides to borrow from Boss Baby. And what I mean by that is that we then get like a flashback of, sorry, basically you say a flash forward of, you know, Orion telling this story, an older Orion telling this story to his daughter.
Now, here's the thing. Unlike Boss Baby, where we knew this was the case from the very beginning, this comes out right out of nowhere.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, when you're doing Boss Baby formula, I mean, like, that rubs you the wrong way already. Like, it's just, it's, you know, we don't like Boss Baby by any stretch of the imagination. Like, you know, we just came out, you know, also, whether Boss Baby's worse than Trolls, I mean, that's the debate for another time. But, I mean, yeah, this doesn't, no. I mean, unfortunately, this sort of makes sense from a state, in a way that to excuse Orion basically being, like, you know, a caricature, I guess you could say, you know, of, you know, his younger self, I guess you could say, but no, I just think it's lazy writing, in a way, just to say, oh, we can just explain it away because, like, you know, it's a associated story of, like, you know, the imagination of, like, you know, Orion's daughter and, like, him, and, like, it's just...
Yeah, now here's the thing.
This didn't work for Boss Baby. I don't know why it would work for this.
Yeah, now some people were actually comparing this to The Princess Bride, but the difference is that The Princess Bride was...
It was a good movie.
Well, actually, yes, it is a good movie, but here's the thing. It was a fairy tale that was told to, you know, from a grandfather to a grandson, and it had nothing to do with himself. It was about a princess who met up with this really rebellious guy, and she fell in love with him. So it had nothing to do with the grandfather when he was a young guy. It was just a story that he told to his grandson, and it was fun. And it would make a lot of sense where you jump in between the grandfather and the grandson, and then the storyline, and then the grandfather again, and then the grandson saying, oh, I don't like this part. I hate the kissing. I want the action stuff. It made sense. You know what? Even Boss Baby kind of makes sense because, again, it's just the man telling his daughters the story about when he was a kid and he found out he was going to have a baby brother. This whole thing about Orion telling the story to his daughter that, you know, of what quote-unquote happened when he was a kid, that he met up with Dark just so that he can be able to conquer his fears, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like, I'm sure there's another kid who's probably, like, you know, walking around saying, you know, my dad's off his meds again.
Oh, jeez. Okay, let's continue.
So, I mean, is this going to be that now? It's like, is every DreamWorks film basically going to have, like, you know, dads who are basically just, like, you know, completely off their rockers and, like, you know, telling, like, you know, these crazy stories to, like, their offspring?
I mean, here's the thing. I know what he was trying to do in this case because his daughter is afraid of the dark. And so he wants to tell her this story so that she can be able to feel better about the dark.
So, basically, there's possibility that this story never happened, and it's basically just something that he's coming up with, basically, just to, you know, make sure his daughter isn't afraid of the dark.
I don't know! That's the thing. I really don't know. I mean, it makes it look like it's a story, but at the same time, there's some tiny elements that made it look like it could have happened. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute, but
yeah,
it's...
Isn't it confusing?
It's really confusing. I don't really know if this actually happened, or if this is a story that he kind of, like, made some bits and pieces of just to tell his daughter that there's nothing to be afraid of for the dark. I legitimately don't know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like Inception, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, at least with Boss Baby, the events of that actually happened. This
unfortunately
case, yes, unfortunately, but in this case, did Orion really meet up with Dark? Because if that's the case, then some of the events that we saw like later on in the story, they couldn't have happened. Well, okay, let's continue, shall we? So, yeah, this is the part of the movie where I was like, I was really close to being just fed up with him, where he basically tells, you know, the companion saying about, like, you know, dark is dangerous and dark is bad and, you know, everything about light is so much better. There's more colors. It makes you feel safe. It makes you feel happy. And, you know, your stuff could be benefited so much better if you didn't even follow up with Dark. And, you know, Dark is the worst thing ever.
Oh, by the way, like, after he does all of that and, you know, Dark confronts him over it, he does, like, the whole, like, you know, get up on a pedestal and does the fake, like, the politician's fake apology whole thing. And it's about as cringeworthy as you can probably imagine.
This scene is absolutely awful. The fact that he, quote-unquote, apologizes and tries to explain to the other companions that, oh, no, but Dark is a good thing. And then he tries to, like, correct himself, saying, like, you know, there's, you know, like, the grass is always greener on the other side. And then Insomnia said, but we can't see green because it's dark. And
you know, something, I just, like, if there was ever a scene, if, you know, if I was ever in this movie and the bully is willing to give, like, Orion the swirly, I would happily pull the flush. I seriously, like, you know what, there's no redeeming in about two of the three acts. There's no redeeming qualities to this protagonist. There isn't.
I don't like this character at all.
Is, like, it? Dare I say, it's worse than Orlo. I would think. At least Orlo probably wouldn't be, you know, this, you know, judging, at least, you know. And also when he made the, you know, the campaign with the caveman, you know, the cave boy, I guess you could say. I mean, at least you could say Orlo was, like, you know, aware of, like, all the dangers around him and, like, you know, eventually he would go on to confront them.
Okay, in the context of Arlo and the Good Dinosaur, that the reason why he was such a timid character was because he was pretty much overshadowed by his older siblings. Yeah. Like, his older...
And also he saw his dad die in front of him as well.
That too, yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's trauma, there is, like, you know,
inadequacy.
Family hierarchy as well. Yeah, there's things with that that's going on as well. There's, character structure with, you know, Arlo in The Good Dinosaur. And The Good Dinosaur was not necessarily a good movie. But, I mean, I gotta be honest with you, the protagonist in The Good Dinosaur, I would say, is probably miles better than what we're getting with, you know, Orion right now in this movie.
Yeah, because he almost screws things up when he tries to convince the other companions, saying, like, hey, you know, dark is actually a good thing. They flat out quit.
I mean, well, that's because, like, you know, again, like, he's just like a half-hearted apology, and he even still throws the dark under the bus, even regardless of that. Like, you know, that speech is cringe, and so they all just sit there waiting for daytime to come along, and then daytime does come along, and, you know, dark, eventually just himself, also kind of just stays there and just, you know, accepts into the light and just disappears.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, I feel so bad for Dark. I really do.
So bad for him, because this is a guy who was willing to take this kid, who clearly hates him, to show him that there was nothing to be afraid of.
You know what? This movie should have just been called Dark. Like, you know, like, it made Dark the main character. You know, screw Orion, as far as I'm concerned. Like, he should have been, like, the main character in all this. He's fun. He is, you know, he is a bit of a goof as well. Like, he has his friends who are the companions. Like, you know, he's obviously more sociable. You know, he's obviously got, you know, a thing where, like, he hates the fact that most people are afraid of him. So he's got this opportunity to take someone like Orion and take him for 24 hours and say, hey, I can, you know, make this kid, if I can make this kid believe that, you know, dark is a good thing, I can make any kid believe that, you know, dark is a good thing. And he's like, that's his obsession. And then his character evolution can be saying, well, okay, well, some people can be, will be afraid of me, for, you know, out of irrationality and that, but eventually, like, you know, I will accept my place in the world because, you know, I provide a really good function, and it's about, you know, rather the belief in myself to do my own things rather than getting the opinions of others. That's a great main protagonist for this. It didn't need to be Orion.
No,
I'm sorry. Orion
could
have easily just been, like, the side character, maybe even the tweener, who basically ends up kind of, like, doing, like, villainous things, but then realizes the error of his ways and then turns around and does like that. We'll totally accept that. I hate the fact that we started with Orion in this movie. I think it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
All right, so let's continue on, shall we? So death essentially gets overtaken by light, and so...
Death? You mean dark.
Dark. Well, yeah. He's dead. Okay, Dark is dead.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, Death Note came around and we wrote Orion's name in it, I would okay, do that too.
Okay, fine. So Dark was basically just absorbed by the sunlight, and now Dark is no more. Mm-hmm. And now everybody is suffering. Everybody is hot. Everybody is...
Can't sleep.
No, they can't sleep.
This is like the Fairly Odd Parents episode where, like, you know, where everyone was like, you know, there's no more dead bedtime anymore, so everyone was, like, staying awake, like, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I remember that, yeah. And everybody just... It's the same reaction. Everybody hated each other. They were arguing. There was car accidents. There was just absolute chaos. So, yeah, this is what happens when there's no dark. There's no nighttime. You can't sleep. You get cranky, you get irritated, you get overwhelmed.
And Light is actually hated now. Like, you know, everyone's saying, oh, why, you know, Light's kind of sitting around, like, you know, everyone's kind of complaining at him. Like, why are there people hating me so much?
Yeah, like, exactly. It's like, here's the thing. Like, Light was not being, like, a complete jerk to Dark. I mean, I can understand that Light is more popular, sure, because, you know, a lot of good things come from sunlight. But, you know, he wasn't, like, completely cocky saying, I'm better than you, you know, get away.
Dare I say, Orion's probably more of a villain than Light is in this movie.
Oh, my God. You know you've done something wrong when the main protagonist is the villain.
Yeah, I mean, like, you'd accept that in Mega... Oh, Mega Man isn't actually a villain, is he? Like,
I mean,
well.
Mega Mind, I mean,
he is like a super villain, I guess you could say, but you know, it's like it's you can sort of see how he kind of turned around, I guess.
Him and Wreck-It Ralph are great examples of villains that kind of end up being the hero in the end.
Yeah, it's like, you know, where you are a bad guy, but not exactly a bad guy, as you know,
as Zangief said
in Wreck-It Ralph, and you can do these characters well, but not so much.
Yeah, but this is a case in which the protagonist is much more of a villain than the actual villain,
yeah. Yeah,
He pretty much just screws it up for everybody. Or maybe he didn't, because there's a part of the story, like, around the time in which he's telling his daughter that, you know, Dark was essentially taken by Light, and then his daughter asks him what happens next, and then he says, "I don't know." That's where the story ends for me. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, like, and apparently then it's his daughter who has to come to basically save the story, if you will. Like, you know, she writes herself into the story.
All right.
This is fan fiction levels of bad. And so she comes in and basically helps to try and get Dark back. And one of the best ideas basically is to take, you know, Sweet Dreams and, you know, go into into Orion's mind and then, you know, bring Dark back by, you know, that sense.
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting idea.
But then they bring in this, like, this whole black hole thing, which is kind of like, what's that?
I mean,
they never explain that.
I mean, yeah, it happened earlier in the movie when they were inside of the mind of the woman who was having the dream about the promotion and her daughter wanting a pet. Like, there's this whole, like, black hole thing. Is this supposed to be Nightmare?
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't get what they were trying to go here. He's like, oh, if he falls into this hole, he dies.
So it's like, what is this, Nightmare on Elm Street?
No idea. It's like, you know.
You know, like when a character is falling asleep and they're dreaming, and when they die in the dream, they die in real life.
Anyway, that whole thing's relevant because, as you know, where they all come in to save the day, and, you know, where they all escape the, Orion's mind.
But here's the thing, like, again, before we go into the whole, like, his daughter gets into the story to help out Orion, you know, we see, you know, them walking in the park, and it's dark, and then they both didn't want to go in there. It's like, wait a minute. Is Orion still afraid of the dark? I thought that maybe at this point in the story, he would have been like...
To be fair, though, it would be kind of a smart thing. I mean, currently they live in Manhattan, I think.
Live in Manhattan,
which
yes.
is like, I mean, like, the suburbs actually quite close to, like, Manhattan.
Yes, it is. Manhattan,
are they? Okay,
yeah.
So they could just walk into Manhattan if they wanted to and then go to, like, Central Park.
Yes.
I mean, oh, all right, then. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, in Manhattan. Yeah, that's where Central Park is. It's in Manhattan.
Oh, all right, then. That's fine. So it looks like they're, at, you know, in Manhattan looking like they're walk in Central Park, because to be honest with you, like, you know, during the evening, like, you know, in a very dark, you know,
it's
place,
pretty
like,
scary.
Well, not scary, like, pretty dangerous as well. Like, you know, you don't know what on earth can be in there.
Yeah,
like,
I thought that
New York City in Central Park.
Yeah, I thought that Orion was going to hold his daughter's hand and saying that there's nothing to be afraid of, or maybe he would have told a part of the story that, you know, he learned a lesson from.
Or maybe
Dark.
They realized that maybe that Don Bluth troll's probably still in there somewhere. maybe that's what they're trying to avoid. Yeah, like, you know. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. And if no one knows what I'm referring to, it's a troll in Central Park.
Of course it is.
Yeah, anyway, so that happened. Then they go back to the story. And so, I mean, if you want the short term of it, basically, is that they save the day and then they realize, oh, how are we going to get, you know, because apparently, you know, the daughter transported herself like 20 years into the past to, like, you know, do that. And then they're wondering how they're going to get it back home. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's kind of like, you know, this, you know, was it named Tim? I think his name is. Like,
Tico,
the time traveler, like, you know, character then
yes.
randomly appears, never referred to in the movie until now, and then all of a sudden, like, there's just, like, these, like, time creatures that apparently have been, so apparently the time splitters now is finally crossing over with this DreamWorks universe, apparently.
And then we learn that Tico is actually the son of the daughter of Orion. So she's telling the story of her father's experience to her own son. So it is... I'm sorry, which part of the story is this from? Is it Orion telling the story to his daughter, or is it the daughter telling the story to her son?
I'm confused, that's all I can say. So apparently, it's going to be, so this is the grandson now of Orion. So apparently, he's finished the story off, from what I understand, and now, you know, the grandparents now are effectively, you know, looking after him for the time, and I'm so confused.
I'm lost.
You know?
Yeah, and the whole thing about, like, oh, Light has taken over. Well, I mean, if Orion told his daughter, I don't know how the story ends at this point. We can assume that it didn't happen, because if that were the case, that, you know, Dark never came back, then it would still be like Bright Light, or they would be dead, because it, you know, Bright Light with that all the time, it would be overwhelming. The oceans would dry up, plant life would be dried up as it is. I mean, yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
My head hurts. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, the only thing
One thing I'm just really shocked about, I was only reading about this before we went to record this podcast. This is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The story is all over the place, and some of the characters suck, but I have to say, the way that they presented the story is actually really ambitious.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, but at the same time, it needed another rewrite. It needed, like, you know, some more structuring. It needed a bit more of an idea. It shouldn't have, like, surprised people as it was all going along. Like, you know, these weren't pleasant surprises. It was like, huh?
Yeah. Now, I mean, here's the reason why it feels very jumbled and confused. The person who wrote the screenplay is Charlie Kaufman. You may know him for movies such as Being John Malkovich and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Amylocia, which are movies that are really confusing and structured weirdly and go all over the place.
Because that's what you want in a family entertainment movie, don't you?
This is his first family entertainment film. He did a lot of movies
and
for adults.
And it shows.
It really shows. Like, you know, Being John Malkovich is about a guy who enters into John Malkovich's mind and sees, you know, through his perspective. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is about two people who go through a really bad part in their relationship, and they want to erase the memories of their entire love life, and then they just feel empty and alone. And Amylisa is about a guy who sees the same person in every single face with the exception of one person, and he's trying to figure out why. This guy's writing is supposed to be a lot of metaphors, but at the same time presented in very interesting ways.
But that's mean, who are you telling the story to? That's the thing. Like, you know, where this is supposed to be like a, you know, family entertainment movie, and you are basically telling, like, what effectively is, like, you know, a story for, you know, like more of an adult audience in this regard. And I think, you know, that's where Orion and the Dog loses focus, in my opinion. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, like, I'm seeing now, like, it is like number 6, and like, you know, in Netflix streaming at the minute. So, like, it is being searched, and people are watching it. And I'm guessing some people are getting a lot of people are getting enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, I think.
But
that,
I mean, I think you know, in regards to, like, you know, look at all the DreamWorks library that we have like this. I mean, it's good that they're being ambitious and, like, you know, taking on a movie like this. But I think they need to kind of, like, take a step back a little bit of a second and say, I think we maybe need to do something with the story that kind of help the audience along here. And I'm not saying that the audience is stupid in any particular way. I'm not saying that at all. But I think you have to, I mean, you and I, I guess you could say, are DreamWorks fans. And, you know, we do enjoy DreamWorks movies. We enjoy Kung Fu Panda. We enjoy Madagascar. We enjoy, you know, various other, you know, movie franchises. I think with Orion in the Dark, I think if they are looking to basically take this to the next level, I mean, a lot of people, I guarantee you, will probably look at this movie and probably say, yeah, they're basically trying to, like, do the Boss Baby formula and trying to get that to work. You know, it's the crazy story that basically kind of, like, goes. But, you know, I know what you're saying, because you've already laid out, like, what type of movies basically, you know, this guy does. But I mean, unfortunately, there's something that kind of glares out that kind of looks similar to it. Unfortunately, it's Boss Baby. You know?
I mean, I can see where you're coming from at that point, but I mean, here's the thing, like, you know, for people who focus on a lot of weird auteur films for adults, trying to transition that to kids and make it work, it's going to be really difficult.
I was going to say, I mean, like, what's DreamWorks going to do next? I mean, like, Quentin Tarantino, like, you know, you get Samuel Jackson and, like, you know, do, like, a cartoon version of him getting, like, a BJ from, like, you know, another guy on screen. It's like, you know, there needs to be, like, you know, some creative control here for, like, an understanding of what the audience is for DreamWorks.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Charlie Kaufman does really interesting movies. I really like some of the messages that he comes across with some of his films. They can be told kind of strange, yes, and not very linear, but at least you know what he was trying to get across. In this case, with Orion in the Dark, I understand what he was trying to do. I completely get the fact that he was trying to tell a story about a person who is constantly afraid and in overcoming his fears. That there are some things that we see that could be perceived as scary. Being afraid of the dark is one of the most common fears for a child. And the fact that you would see that, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of with the dark, because dark brings in a lot of good things. It brings in nighttime. Some animals come in at night. Some plant life comes in at night. You can be able to see fireworks. You can see movies outside. You can be able to enjoy a nice warm fire surrounded by family and friends. Yeah. And
you know what? There's another character that you and I recently talked about on Aaron and Patricia, and who recently went, like, you know, through, you know, legitimate reasons to be scared. And do you know who that was?
Who's that?
Lunetta Lafayette.
Yes.
In Moon Girl Colin Neville Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Now, she has a right to be terrified because she went through, like, you know, an experience that nearly took away her mortality.
Yeah. So, now, I mean, we're not going to get into spoilers for that. Go listen to Aaron.
Okay,
and
we're not going into spoilers for it. But, I mean, here's the thing, like, you know, there's this type of character. If this person went through, like, you know, a very, I was expecting throughout the movie that through the Orion, we were going to learn that he went through, like, a very traumatic experience, and that's the reason why he's afraid of everything. I really thought maybe we're going to go, like, you know, the parents are abusive, or, like, you know, we're going to go for, like, oh, well, you know, this happened to him at a very young age, and that's what set him on the course, like, being afraid of everything. I was waiting for that moment, and it never arrived.
Or it could have been that he was a very young child. Like, you know, young, like we said, Chucky from Rugrats, like, he's in
middle school, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in middle school. Like,
How old is he at middle school?
Like, he's 11 years old.
11 years old. I mean, like, you know, between 5 and 6, I probably imagine something could have happened to him.
Yeah, sure.
And then that would have set him off for the next couple of years.
Yeah, like, if he was, like, maybe, like, a, you know, 5 to 6-year-old, and he doesn't know about how the world works, and he's just seen things that he doesn't understand about. So, things you don't understand can be perceived as scary. And once you learn about it, it doesn't become scary anymore. I thought that was going to be the lesson.
Yeah.
And they kind of try to do that, but the execution of it falls flat.
I know
we've been shitting on this movie for almost 30 minutes, so I guess we can talk about some positives that we actually liked about this movie. So, okay, I said before, I think that the way that they were trying to tell this story is actually pretty ambitious, because DreamWorks films tend to be very comedic. They tend to be a little bit all over the place, and let's be honest, I mean, there are some DreamWorks movies that you can clearly can tell that they were geared towards kids. I think that they were trying to tell a much more mature story, that it's trying to bring in some really interesting things that you wouldn't expect to see in a DreamWorks film. You can see it probably in a Laika film. You can even see this in a Pixar film, but DreamWorks, absolutely not. They are always about the comedy. So the fact that they were able to try to tell a story like this, you know what? I give major kudos for that. Another thing that I really do enjoy, the animation is really good.
Yeah, I will say the animation is good.
No, the animation is great. Fantastic. I love the blending between the 2D and the 3D animation. It reminds me of, like, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, or even the Peanuts movie, in which it tries to do, like, the little drawings of the 2D mixed with the 3D. And the colors are really, really great. And the designs are really, really nice, too. I really do enjoy the animation. The animation on this is fantastic.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I like, you know, the companions in this as well. Like, you know, they're well designed
as
well.
And, exactly.
Not only have, like, they got the designs down, they also got the way that they sound down as well. And, like,
yeah,
you know,
like Angela Bassett as Sweet Dreams, fantastic casting.
Exactly, yeah, I think that was good. So,
I mean, even Jacob Tremblay, who we saw in recent films, I mean, he was, you know, doing, he was Luca, and he was in Room and various other films. I mean, you know, he does a great voice as Orion. It's just a shame that they gave him really bad material to work with.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And Colin Hanks, he does a great job as playing as older Orion. So, yeah, he does a really great job, too. I mean, all the cast is fantastic. It's just that the story sucks, and some of the characters suck.
It's just, like, that's what holds it back. And, you know, it just needed... It needed everyone, like, all the writers, kind of, like, to be brought back into the room and say, look, I think we need to give this another look. And, like, By the way, how many times have we said that in modern DreamWorks, and even modern Pixar films? Like, you know, the story just isn't up to scratch. Like, it's infuriating now. I really do think that, you know, there needs to be less focus on, like, you know, making the movie bigger, or making the movie more colourful, or making the movie in 4, you know, looking good if it was in 8K or something like that. I think all the visuals are fine. Like, you know, let's concentrate on the story. You know, like, really give this a good one, you know, a good once, twice, three times, you know, even four times, you know, over, and, you know, make sure that we've got everything in straight. And I think that's also things be happening here. I think people, this might be a bit of unfair criticism, and I'll happily take, you know, take the comments for it if people want to say this, but I just think that there needs to be, you know, more focus, I think, on what the purpose of our characters are, what sort of journey that our characters are going to go through, what are the problems that, you know, they're going to face up with, and how are they going to face them, and also give explanations for back things, like, you know, like, you know, again, I go back with the Stan Lee idea from Marvel. Now, I know everyone's sick of Marvel movies right now, but I mean, there's the one thing that Marvel movies do very well is that they at least explain the backstory of their characters well. And, you know, the villains of these all had to be scientists, because how on earth did they come up with this stuff?
They're either scientists or they're magicians.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're supernatural beings that just happen to come into way. So, like, you know, the one thing I just think that we don't do very well anymore now in modern movie telling, which they used to be done actually quite well in the 2000s and in the 2010s, is that, you know, that when a villain came along or a protagonist came along and they had some kind of problem, there was an explanation behind it. There's no explanation behind Orion whatsoever.
No.
Yeah, there isn't. And it's infuriating, and I wish it would stop.
Yeah. So. I think Charlie Kaufman, the next time that he tries to do a family-friendly film, that I think he needs to, like, you know, if you want to take the metaphors, and if you want to take, you know, the kind of like the non-linear storytelling, try to take it down a notch. That way it can be comprehensible for a kid to understand.
You know what they should have done? They should have, like, you know, had Orion at like 5 or 6 years old. He got lost in the dark one day and then went through like the whole Snow White montage. You know, when she, like, you know, she goes into the woods and there's all these scary things around the woods and everything like that. Like, you know, that's the reason why, you know, she's so terrified. You know, like, you know, there's even more explanation for, like, you know, the very first animated movie Snow White for Snow White than there is for Orion, which, you know, is like 100 and something years later. You know, it's just, it's you know, they should have done that kind of sequence with Orion. They should have put him through, like, you know, 6 or 7 years old. He got lost in the dark one night and, you know, he went through all these traumatic experiences and then his parents found him and then he's never been the same since.
Or now, it could have been or maybe the dark is the only thing he's afraid of as opposed to all the other fears.
Well, that's how you explain all the other fears, because, like, he's been made afraid of, like, so many other things. Like, he's been overwhelmed with fear, so therefore everything is scary. Like, that should have been the explanation for Orion, but they didn't tell it.
No.
And they should have told it.
Right.
You know, like, you know, it's just, it's, yeah, so, I mean, we have got what we've got.
Yeah. So as of right now, it is number 6 in the most streamed movie on Netflix. I'm surprised that it is a Netflix exclusive, because when it comes to DreamWorks films, they usually release on Peacock.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, who knows? Maybe they need to deal with Netflix to, like, produce a bunch of DreamWorks movies, and therefore this is going to be the first one, and there's going to be other ones that are going to be coming along the way. Also, like, you know, these are movies that are being taken, like, you know, with other studios, and not exactly entirely with DreamWorks.
I guess that's true, yeah. So I guess this is a Micros Animation thing.
I guess maybe, you know, DreamWorks are just testing the waters with, like, different production companies and saying, huh, who can produce our next major flick?
That is true. I mean, they have done that in the Kung Fu Panda movies, in which some of the stuff was outsourced to China. Yeah. And even with Abominable, if you remember, that was also a Chinese production as well.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think we'll probably get on with scoring this movie, I guess.
All right, then.
So, yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing about this. I mean, like, there are some likable characters. Dark's a likable character, and, you know, some of the bits of the story do make sense. Unfortunately, the overarching story, unfortunately, needed work, and it just wasn't done. The music is good in it. The, you know, the graphics in this movie is also very good. You know, the way that they designed the characters, I think, is also fantastic as well, and they did a really good job with this. But unfortunately, like, you know, our main character and the whole, you know, main story that goes on, unfortunately, you know, when Orion ends up being unlikable basically for the first two acts and only kind of redeems himself basically in the third act, unfortunately, you know, that's the problem here. And if I had to give it even a bit of leeway, I'd probably say 6.5 out of 10.
Okay, 7, because, damn it, I really like what they were trying to do here. I really
like... There's something here, but it needs more.
Yes, I really like the fact that they were trying to do a much more different storytelling than traditional DreamWorks films. They were trying to treat this, you know, story arc a little bit more seriously than they do with most DreamWorks films. Like, we've seen with, like, other films, like Prince of Egypt, in which, you know, it can be watched by kids, but then adults can be able to comprehend it, too, because it doesn't treat the kids like they're idiots. Or they need to be entertained for like 90 minutes by just jiggling all over with keys in front of their faces. It's like, it doesn't overwhelm you with bright colors.
To be fair, like, this isn't a kid jingle your keys in front of your kids movie. Like,
No, it's not. I mean, like, a lot of, you know, like, various other films in which it's like, it's trying to be funny, or, oh, look at all these bright colors, like with Trolls Band Together, that almost made us sick.
Yeah.
But it was trying to be something really great with its storytelling. And, yeah, I mean, I can understand, like, the non-linear story structure. Sure, but, you know, if it would have been pulled off very well, I think it would have been a really interesting idea of how it would have been done. I love Dark, and I love his companions. I love the way that the world works. I like the way that they're able to explain about how they're able to do things. I like the argument about why Dark and why nighttime is important. But unfortunately, the main character sucks. I don't like him. I think he's too much of a coward for me to say, oh yeah, I can really sympathize with you. There's a lot of things that he says that makes it look like he's trying to be smart when he doesn't even know what he's talking about. And then he tries to make it look like that Dark is the worst thing ever when he's actually the best part of this movie. And then when he goes away, it makes you feel like genuinely sad. And when you see the repercussions of what his actions did, it's like, yeah, there's a reason why I don't like you. Yeah.
You know, when you got a character who gives you genie vibes, like, you know, that's a great thing to capture in a movie. And it's just, I just feel like, I mean, Dark, you know, just needed to be the main character in this movie, and he just wasn't.
Yeah. And when you wonder about, like, why the other companions didn't want Orion to be there, and why, you know, they're then constantly saying,
you sympathize with them.
Yeah, you sympathize with them. It's like, yeah, I don't blame you for not wanting him to be here, because he says things that he doesn't know what he's talking about. He tries to convince them to saying Dark is bad, or your jobs are irrelevant, or, you know, Light is so much better. It's like, yeah, I don't want to be around this character either. So, but again, there's so many things that I actually do like about this movie. I love the animation. I like some of the characters. I like that they were trying to do something different with the storytelling. But there's just too many flaws that make it feel like it could have been done so much better.
And you know the worst part of it is, I'm pretty sure DreamWorks is probably looking at this right now, but saying, hey, Orion the TV series. It's like, oh my god.
Well,
help us.
I don't know. Maybe the TV series will be better.
Are you serious? This character as, you know, we spend, what, about an hour and 48 minutes with this character, and now you're saying we want a whole 20 episodes of this?
I didn't say about him. I just said maybe Dark and his companions can have
their own TV. Yeah, Dark is a TV series.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, I'll tolerate that. But yeah, Orion, no.
Okay, you know what?
You know, it's funny, like, I mean, he's probably, dare I say, maybe out of all the DreamWorks movies, and this might be saying something, I think, for all, I mean, is he? He's not worse than Oscar from Shark Tale.
No, he's not. And he's not worse than the Boss Baby. And
he's not worse than the Boss Baby.
And he's not worse than freaking Poppy from the Trolls movies.
I guess not. And so, I mean, like, there have been, like, other worst protagonist characters, I think you can say, in DreamWorks movies. Unfortunately, Orion isn't the worst one, but it would be very hard to say he's not one of them. So,
yeah. Anyway. This could have been so much better.
It should have been so much better.
Yeah. Anyway, but we got two more films to watch for Dream Machine this year, and next month is going to be Kung Fu Panda 4. We saw the trailer. We're really excited about it. We're excited about seeing Jack Black coming back as the Dragon Warrior. We're seeing the...
I've seen a couple of spoilerish kind of things, but I'm going to basically not say anything further, but I will just say that we are looking forward to Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this new villain, and I'm really looking forward to all the new characters that are going to be brought into it. So, you know what? I mean, even though that this was a rough point for DreamWorks, I mean, especially 2023, that year sucked for DreamWorks, but I'm just hoping 2024 will be a little bit better.
It's interesting because, I mean, if we're going to speak a little bit about Kung Fu Panda 4, apparently, because, you know, we've been told that, you know, now, you know, Poe has to search for a successor, so, like, it's going to give a lot of intrigue who's going to be the next Dragon Warrior.
Yeah, let's just hope that this is a better attempt of finding a successor than Cars 3.
I get a feeling this is going to be a Creed situation. I really do. Like, you know, they're going to, like, find this guy, and then all of a sudden he's going to get his own series of movies.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, it's interesting. I get the feeling that's what we're going for.
Yeah, but we'll have to wait next month for that.
Cool.
Until then, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into Dream Machine. Let us know in the comments below about your thoughts of Orion in the Dark. Did you agree with our sentiment? Or maybe you actually really did enjoy this movie. And if you can tell us, you know, nicely, but in a concise way on why, then please let us know.
Yeah. And, you know, don't forget to turn off the light before you go to sleep.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.